Welcome back to Texas Public Radio's The Source. I'm David Martin Davies. The way congressional maps are drawn today in America has given the Republican Party a sizable advantage in the U.S. Congress. That's according to a new report out by the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. They say that as many as 16 to 17 seats could be Republican in the U.S. Congress because of the way the maps are drawn. That's not enough to flip the House. That would take 24 seats, but certainly that's enough to change the tone of what's happening in Washington, D.C. So what is happening with the way maps are drawn? What are extreme maps? Is gerrymandering getting out of control? Is the U.S. Supreme Court ready to step in? Not just gerrymandering on a racial level, which we've seen here in Texas, according to federal judges, but on a pure partisan level. When does a map get drawn so far out of whack that it becomes extreme and the courts will be changing the way that they deal with that? We're talking with the Brennan Center today. We've got Laura Royden. She is the co-author of Extreme Maps, the report, and a researcher at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. And Michael Lee, he is the report's co-author and senior counsel at the Brennan Center. Welcome to The Source, both of y'all. It's great to have you here.
Thank you.
So Michael Lee, what is an extreme map?
So our report took a look at using various statistical measures to look at when it seems statistically unlikely that a map was drawn randomly. What we found was that in seven states, mostly battleground states plus Texas, maps were way out of whack in terms of how they look compared to how the state performs on a statewide basis. So, for example, take Pennsylvania, right, which is a 50-50 state, narrowly won by Donald Trump, but, you know, they also have a Democratic governor and Democratic senators, and yet Republicans safely control 13 out of the 18 congressional seats, and the same thing in North Carolina, which is a quintessential battleground state, and yet Republicans in that state have managed under the maps that they drew to lock in a 10-3 advantage, which is very durable and, again, very out of whack with what you would think that you would find. And what's new is that these statistical measures allow you to sort of quantify where there is likely a problem. And, you know, because people oftentimes say, like, I don't like my map, you know, it's a gerrymander. But it can be hard to know, and up until now it's been hard to know exactly when you cross the line. These measures are great tools to sort of help identify where the problem is. That's what our report took a look at.
Our phone lines are open. If you've got a question or a comment about the way congressional maps are drawn these days, if you think gerrymandering has gotten out of control and needs to be reined in, give us a call. Or if you think things are going just perfectly and this is the way the system works and it's worked this way for years, give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Laura Royden, don't both parties do this?
Yeah, both parties do this, but the problem with the maps that we found this cycle are that Republicans have single-party control, so they're solely in control of the redistricting process in way more states than Democrats do, so they're able to draw way more districts than Democrats can. So we only looked at three states that Democrats really controlled the process in, Illinois, Maryland, and Massachusetts. And because these states don't have that many congressional districts, Maryland has 8, Massachusetts has 9, I think, there's only so much that you can gerrymander. There's only so many extra seats that can be gained, whereas Republicans have control of many of these battleground states, like Michael said, Florida, North Carolina, Ohio, Michigan, Wisconsin, and they can gain a lot more seats that way.
What about in California, Laura?
So California has a commission drawing its maps. So it's not a political process, or it's not a strictly partisan process. It's a citizen commission approved through a ballot initiative in 2008, 2010, I think. So they're the ones in control, and it's not the legislature drawing it. And we found that this commission and states with other commissions actually have much less bias in maps. So it seems like commissions and similarly courts and other types of less political processes are doing a better job of drawing fairer maps.
So that's the, I guess if you look at the overall vote tally of a state. You know, so if it's 54% are leaning one way or the other, Republican or Democrat, then you would expect then maybe just a little bit more than half of the congressional seats should be a Republican or Democrat. Is that how it's supposed to work, Laura?
Yeah, basically, more or less. There's
And so it's more like they're coming. So if you may have more than this, a little bit more than half of the voters voting for one party, but still, then that party's taking the lion's share of the congressional seats.
Yep, that's what's happening in states like particularly Pennsylvania, Michigan, and North Carolina. You have situations where Democrats in 2012 actually won a greater share of the vote than Republicans did, but ended up with 7 or 8 fewer seats.
So, Michael Lee, you said that these days gerrymandering was once an art, but now it's a science. What does that mean?
So gerrymandering is getting a lot easier to do because we have much more robust and better data. You know, just as marketers and retailers and political campaigns know a lot more about who we are and what our leanings are, so do map drawers. And so we know not only that you're a Democrat, for example, but we also know how likely it is that you're going to vote and how strong your support is for Democrats and how likely it is that you flip. And that sort of robust data makes it possible to draw maps that not only produce a certain result, but stick and are durable, to use sort of the technical lingo. And we've certainly seen that in this cycle's maps, because not only do you have these sort of way out of whack maps in places like Pennsylvania and North Carolina, but you actually don't see any turnover. And that's different than in the past, because in the past, you could draw a map and you would think that it would be good, but you really didn't quite know. You know, people move around, people kind of, you know, you might get people's political preferences sort of wrong. You just had sort of broad sort of understandings of who the electorate in a given district were. Now it's much better, and it's only going to get worse because big data is becoming more and more robust.
And what does that mean in terms of the type of congressman that we get? Is it someone who is going to skew towards the center or towards the extreme?
Well, you know, whenever you have a district that, you know, is deliberately made uncompetitive in the general election, what matters is the primary electorate. And the reality is that while the American people as a whole actually haven't gotten that much more polarized, you know, numerous studies have shown that, like, you know, the American people as a whole are sort of where they were, you know, a few decades ago. The people who vote in party primaries for both Republicans and for Democrats have gotten much more ideological and much have moved toward the extremes. And that's been particularly the case for Republicans. And you see that in Texas, right? I mean, you know, people will tell you at the University of Texas, you know, like, you can never be too conservative for the Republican primary in Texas. You can always run as a true conservative. And so the effect of it is not only when you have these sort of skewed maps, not only do you lock in sort of an unfair and unrepresentative advantage for one party over the other, but you also draw districts because they're not competitive that then, you know, produce more extreme candidates. And that certainly is driving some of the polarization in Congress.
So, Laura Royden, as you looked at the way that maps are being drawn, more extreme maps, according to you, what data are you using from which election cycles, and was there a trend? Is it getting worse?
So we looked at maps from this past redistricting cycle. So redistricting happens generally once a decade after the census. The last census was in 2010, so most redistricting took place in 2011. So we looked at 2012, 2014, and 2016 congressional election results, and we looked at the bias in maps based on those. And it's not necessarily getting worse in the cycle, but it seems like there are very extreme, clear trends happening in this cycle. You know, there's some states that are clearly worse, and the problems in their maps are sticking across these elections. So there isn't change, you know, between a pro-Democratic year in 2012 and a pro-Republican year in 2014. It's sort of the same problem, and even a change in voter population doesn't seem to be changing that.
But the Congress doesn't draw the maps. The maps are drawn at the state house level. Laura, is that right?
Right. Yep. Most states do, yeah. Most states, it's the legislature and the governor pass it sort of as a normal state bill. Some states have commissions that draw maps, different types of commissions. There's independent commissions, and then there's more political commissions, and courts have to get involved in some states.
But when a party is able to take over a state government and control pretty much all of the higher offices, then they're able to put in maps that they'll create more congressional districts? Is that what you're finding, Laura?
So when a state has control of the legislature and generally the governorship, they're able to draw much more extreme maps that benefit their party solely. And we looked at there's a few states that have split control, so the legislature and the governorship weren't held by the same party, so one party wasn't able to fully pass a plan in favor of them, and we found that those split control states had much more fair maps, and they weren't as extreme. So it does seem like a very clear trend here is when one party is able to completely control the redistricting process and just draw a plan to benefit them as best they can.
Our phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We're talking away how congressional maps are drawn today in America, giving one party a sizable advantage in the U.S. Congress. What do you feel about that? Do you think that things should change? When we come back from the break, we'll talk about a case that's going to the U.S. Supreme Court. The court has never struck down an election map before based on partisan politics, but that could change because redistricting may have become too extreme. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. A new report examines how states draw congressional maps, and they focus on a magnitude of manipulation in this mapping. We're speaking with Laura Royden. She is the co-author of the Extreme Maps Report. She's a researcher at the Brennan Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. And Michael Lee's here. He's the co-author of the report and senior counsel at the Brennan Center. So we have this Wisconsin case, Gill versus V. Whitford, and that could be a game changer. Michael Lee, talk about that.
Yeah, so as you said earlier, before the break, the Supreme Court has never held that a gerrymander is unconstitutional because of excessive partisanship. It has held that maps are racial gerrymanders because they were drawn with too much focus on race, and that's something that happened recently in Texas with this cycle's maps on both the legislative and the congressional maps. But it's never agreed on a standard for judging when a map goes too far. It's long recognized that partisan gerrymandering is a problem. It's just not been able to agree on a standard. And in fact, the last time it considered the issue in the mid-2000s, it badly deadlocked, leading some justices at least to say, like, this is an issue that we are not able to solve. A Wisconsin case that's making its way through the courts and that likely will be heard in the fall or winter of this year will give the court the first chance in more than a decade to weigh in on the constitutionality of partisan gerrymandering. And it, like the maps that we studied in our report, is based in part on the claim that the maps are just disproportionate and unfair in terms of awarding one party, in this case the Republicans, way more many seats in the Wisconsin legislature than they would have if the maps were drawn neutrally. And so this will be a big test for partisan gerrymandering ahead of the next cycle of redistricting in 2021, and it also could affect the maps that we've identified in our report and legislative maps in about half a dozen states.
So this case does seem to be making Republicans nervous because, according to your report, that they are benefiting greatly from the way that extreme mapping is working out for them. Partisan gerrymandering is delivering them seats that otherwise they wouldn't have. According to your report, you say that maybe 16 to 17 seats in Congress could be Republican and not Democrat because of the way they were drawn. So Laura Royden, do you think that Republicans have good reason to be nervous about this Supreme Court case?
Yeah, well, it seems like they are benefiting from this extreme type of gerrymandering that we're talking about here. It seems like it's in play pretty much only in states where Republicans had control this cycle, although in the future it's possible, likely Democrats would do the same thing if they had control. But yeah, it does seem like Republicans are getting a big advantage now, and if partisan gerrymandering is ruled unconstitutional with a usable test, it could lead to them losing some seats. The other thing we find in our report, though, is that we don't necessarily conclude that all of these are from partisan gerrymandering, so it might not be the full number of 16 or 17 seats. There are other reasons why a map could bias one party or the other. But it's likely that a big chunk of these are, just because it's correlated so clearly with single-party control and battleground states, that it makes sense that Republicans would have purposely drawn these maps in places where they could have had big wins.
So, Michael Lee, what does the Constitution say about the way these maps are supposed to be drawn?
Well, the Constitution doesn't address redistricting specifically. There are a number of constitutional principles, including the Equal Protection Clause and the First Amendment, that could provide a basis for finding that when you go too far in terms of creating unbalanced maps, that it crosses a constitutional line. And that's sort of been one of the sort of challenges for the court is, not only do you have to decide when a map goes too far just sort of as a mathematical matter, you sort of have to root it in some constitutional principle. But there's a lot of precedent for that. The Supreme Court in the 1960s ruled that districts have to have equal numbers of people. That was not a principle before the 1960s, and similarly, it's created remedies against racial gerrymandering. For example, when you draw districts by putting people into districts solely on the basis of race, that has also been ruled unconstitutional. So there's a lot of precedent that the court can draw on in terms of looking at subordination and sort of political fairness. The court just needs to do that, and then let the trial court sort of develop how all of these evidentiary questions get resolved.
So racial gerrymandering—that's what we're seeing argued quite a bit here in Texas, and we've seen, especially with like the Latino vote in District 23 along the Texas-Mexico border. That's a district that's now held by Will Hurd. That's been going back and forth quite a bit, Michael Lee.
Yes, it has, there have been a number of things that were found to be racial gerrymanders in the Texas map. It is interesting to note that in Texas, that's also a political gerrymander, right? Because in a state where African Americans and Latinos make up a large percentage of your Democrats, if you're going to sort of try to draw maps to aggressively maximize the number of Republican seats, you almost invariably have to hurt African Americans and Latinos, and that in fact is sort of one of the oddities of the cycle, because it has been argued not only in Texas but in states across the South that we weren't trying to disadvantage racial minorities. We were trying to hurt Democrats, and it just happens to be that they were racial minorities, and so we should get a free pass for that because we were trying to be hyper-partisan and not sort of racist. That really sort of is something that's only possible because the Supreme Court has put racial gerrymandering out of bounds and hasn't yet put partisan gerrymandering out of bounds. If the court takes the next step and also puts partisan gerrymandering out of bounds, it could go a long way in terms of assuring fairness for groups like Latinos and African Americans in Texas, who, after all, made up 90% of the state's population gain in the last decade.
So it seems like the federal judges are ruling that here in Texas, in regards to the way they're drawing the maps, and as you pointed out, that the Republican map makers are saying, well, we're not trying to discriminate against African Americans or Latinos. We just happen to trying to discriminate against Democrats, which is perfectly legal right now, and it just happened to be minorities. And now the court is saying, in that instance, we care more about their minority status than their Democrat, their partisan status. Is that right, Michael?
That's sort of the confusion that has sort of existed. And, a recent case out of North Carolina by Justice Kagan, which came down a few weeks ago, that decision actually says, no, you can't just because you're trying to accomplish a partisan end, you can't use race to accomplish that partisan end. And so that's a big victory for communities of color across the South and across the nation. But it would help a lot more if partisan gerrymandering also were out of bounds, because then you wouldn't even have to sort of have the question of is it race or is it party, because, you know, that in a lot of ways that's sort of a false binary, right? It's oftentimes sort of a fusion of race and party, and it's not one or the other. And the way the courts decisions have sort of created, the framework that the court's decisions have created is often tried to force people to decide whether it's one or the other, and that's sort of really kind of an artificial distinction.
So this Gill v. Whitford, Laura Royden, if the Wisconsin case that we talked about earlier, if the case against gerrymandering wins, if the Supreme Court says, yes, the redistricting has gone too far, and they set a standard that will try to rein that in, how do you think that'll change American politics?
Well, at first, I think it'll cause a little bit of a, you know, dust up as states have to figure out how to draw maps that don't go too far with the standard, so I think that'll take a bit. But then redistricting will happen again after the 2020 census. We're almost there. I think we'll see better maps. We'll see less skewed maps, certainly, in these ways. But I don't think it's going to solve necessarily all of our redistricting problems, because we still do have a lot of problems. You know, districts still aren't competitive. People still do live with people with similar political views, which lead to extreme districts. You know, we still have problems that aren't necessarily solved by getting rid of these aggressive gerrymanders, but the aggressive gerrymanders are so bad that we need to clear this up before we can start working on the other thing.
And if Michael Lee at the Supreme Court says that, yeah, this is cool, y'all go ahead and draw maps any way you want.
Yeah, you know, that would be obviously disappointing to a lot of people, and really sort of set the stage for like a hyper-aggressive redistricting cycle in 2021. You already saw that in the last cycle where groups, last time it was mostly on the Republican side, spent tens of millions of dollars to try to gain control of the state legislatures in order to control redistricting. This time, both Democrats and Republicans are already talking about spending, you know, close to $200 million to try to win control of state House seats in order to control, really, frankly, congressional redistricting. And, you know, that has made campaigns in states across the country a lot more nasty, because, you know, what do you do if you're trying to win state House seats? You try to target, like, middle-of-the-road moderates, and you try to knock them off. And the way you do that is you sort of run very divisive and hard-hitting campaigns, frankly, with a lot of outside money from outside these states. A lot of it is dark money that is unaccountable. And it's really because control of Congress is so important today. And you're just going to see more and more of that. And that's why it's especially urgent that the Supreme Court act now.
All right. So we've been talking about a new report from the Brenham Center looking at how the way states have been drawing congressional maps, focusing on the magnitude of manipulated mapping. It's called Extreme Maps. We've been speaking with Laura Royden. She is the co-author of the report, Extreme Maps, and she's a researcher at the Brenham Center for Justice at New York University School of Law. And Michael Lee, always great to have you back, Michael. I'll follow you on Twitter. You're great. He's the report co-author and senior counsel on the Brenham Center. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thank you for tuning us in.